Thank you for listening to this audio recording from LimoPlanet 2020 Free the Future. The following talk was presented at LimoPlanet, the Free Software Foundation's annual conference on current issues in ethics, social justice, and technology. For more information on LimoPlanet, visit limoplanet.org/conference. LimoPlanet is a live conference with speakers who often use visual slides in their presentations. We have only selected talks for this audio feed that do not overly rely on visuals, but if you would like to see a speaker's slides, they are available at media.limoplanet.org. LimoPlanet speakers do not represent the Free Software Foundation. As part of our mission to show how important free software is to everyone, we have speakers talking about their use of free software in different kinds of political and commercial work. The FSF supports their freedom, but does not take positions on any political issues other than those necessary to uphold the principles of free software. Like all the FSF's work on behalf of the freedoms of all computer users, LimoPlanet is made possible by thousands of individuals who, like you, donate what they can. To keep this work going, please consider becoming an associate member via my.fsf.org/join or making a donation at my.fsf.org/donate. You can stay informed by subscribing to our newsletter, The Free Software Supporter, at fsf.org/fss.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this afternoon session. There has been a change of speakers, and we are going to have a retry on Hans's speech from this morning that was interrupted by his pager. This speech is Fediverse, Decentralized Social Networking and Services by Hans. And there will be question and answer at the end, so please post questions in the IRC channel. And Hans, all yours.
All right. Thank you. For those of you that were here the first time around, I'm sorry about that again. Hope you will enjoy the full presentation this time. So LimoPlanet 2020, first of all, I want to say thanks to the conference organizers who worked throughout the year in order to put on the events, especially in the last 2 weeks. They have had to drop everything and redo everything to move from an in-person to an online event. And I've had, as an attendee this time, I've had a fantastic experience. I appreciate the hard work that they've done and the success that they've brought with that. So upcoming presentations. So Linux Fest Northwest is canceled in person. They're going to try to do video. This is one of the talks I've got for there. U-Matrix is another one. I've got that online from other conferences. Texas Linux Fest doesn't know hasn't announced what they're doing yet, just in case you're aware of talks I've talked about doing. And I will be adding updates to that URL once this talk is over and I have time to get back to it. All right. Now we're going to talk about Fediverse and social media. So I thought it was important to make sure that I've got a couple of my accounts here. This is my main Mastodon account. You can follow that. In fact, I'm looking at it. We're getting a couple of updates on there right now. And then Plume is what I use for blogging. We'll get into that a little bit later on. And of course, old school social media IRC that we are using to run the conference, which is awesome. All right, so first, what is Federation? It is a coalition of decentralized digital social spaces. So decentralized means there isn't a single central server. There isn't a single central entity that is running those. Digital, we're doing this all online, right? But social, we're trying to communicate with other people. We're trying to interact with other people or other robots, as the case may be, right? So we're trying to interact with others in those digital spaces. One of the keys for federation and decentralization is that you have many providers. So you don't have just one entity. You've got a whole bunch of different entities that you can work with. One of the purposes of that is that we have, as the users, have choice. No centralized authority, that's part of the many providers. And then one key for federation to me is that you can interact with other services. So it's not just the service that you're on, but other services. And we'll get into the some different protocols in a few slides. All right. So this is a description that Eugen put up, which I think is a nice description of what Mastodon wants to be. It's not necessarily what it is, but what it wants to be. And a lot of the work he's done has proven that this is the direction he's trying to go, more or less. Big thing with that is the code I snipped out of there where users are in control. One of the goals of decentralization is we get to have better control over our experience. So what are social networks? They're services aimed at helping people share data, experiences, thoughts, right? So that's your cat pictures, what you've ate for breakfast, things like that. Or, you know, you think of a cool quote or your what song you're listening to, a whole bunch of things. One of the guys on Mastodon is porting Mastodon clients to really ancient hardware. He's got a Sinclair. He put a Mastodon client on there somehow, and he's tooting from his garage. And it usually happens to be about jazz and Sundays. If you ever find a guy, he's awesome. So, all right. What are centralized central networks? Those are spyware building exploitable psychological profiles tied to individuals. And this is one of the keys. We've had spyware for a long time, right? We've governments and corporations and everything have spied on people for decades, if not hundreds of years. But right now, because of what we're doing with the digital world, we can really, really gather information about every aspect of somebody's life. And you can gather that information from multiple places. So you think, oh, I'm just sharing this cat picture over here, but now they can tie that into, you know, what drugstore you're going to and things like that. There's a whole bunch of data is coming together, and that is being packaged and sold, right? We are derivative products. So they are selling our information, selling access to our lives. So here are some example federation services. I'll cover some of these later on. Big thing for really to point out here is we got microblogs, which are small blogs. You can do pictures and some other things in there as well. But their original intent was for small posts. So usually the Mastodon is 500 characters. I think Pluralma's is actually a little bit longer. Nextcloud was started off as a file sharing service, and then it's added all kinds of other things in there. We'll get to that a little bit later on. PixelFed was image sharing, photos, and things like that. Plume is for long form blogging. There's a couple others that are another one that I'll mention as well. PeerTube is an attempt to do video sharing. We've got a great success story with that, and Blender coming up. And then Diaspora and Frenica were more of everything for social blogging and pictures and stuff like that. So not the 500 character limitation that we have with the microblogs. So what are some good reasons to federate? One is to avoid monoculture, right? So if you have one entity controlling the experience, then you get to do what that entity allows you to do. You don't have any choice. And you suffer their rules and their whims. And nowadays, for some of these commercial entities, we are suffering their rules and their whims. So another reason for federating is you can run your own instance. I know people that run their own instance. The guy I mentioned that toots about jazz on Sundays, he's running his own server in the garage, right? Actually, he's probably running multiple servers in the garage at this point. So you can have full control over your own server, because you can run your own server, right? Or you can get with a group of friends and run a server. So if you've got a local user group or you've got a class group, you can go through and run your own server and have that. You can have per instance themes and fandoms. So example I can give here is like you could set up an instance that is about VI, and you can set up another instance that's about Emacs, and the VI instance says you're not going to get Emacs posts, and the Emacs posts says you're not going to get VI posts. And then you could have another instance that says they're just text editors, would you stop, right? So you can have whatever theme or fandom you want. There is a gardening instance, and I think they're in England. The people I follow from it are in England anyway. But they're working on gardening co-op and sharing ideas about seeds and stuff. And they can interact with people outside of that instance, but they're trying to find, you know, that local group, whether, you know, that's that interest group more than a local group. And that's where that is. You can get per instance and forced guidelines. So going back to the Vim and the VI and Emacs things, right? You can say, okay, if you post about Emacs more than three times, we're just going to ban you from the server, right? You can put your own guidelines, whatever they are, whimsy, making sense to anybody else, doesn't matter. It's up to the local instance and the local moderators. But you can also have an instance without enforced guidelines. There are some people who are like, just Show me all of it. I don't care, right? And so we have a few instances that have that. Luckily, some of the interfaces we have for finding instances give you warnings. By the way, you might see these things on here, right? And then we have cooperative competition. And this is one of the things I really like about free software in general, but also about the Fediverse, is the idea that these different groups are competing against each other. So this guy's instance in his garage and the gardening co-op are competing with each other for eyeballs, right? You know, we think about it that way a little bit. And then you also have Mastodon, Plurama are in the same space. They're both microblogs. They're actually compatible. We'll get into that in a little bit. So they're kind of competing for resources, for people using them, for developers, for funding, for things like that, right? But at the same time, they succeed by cooperating. If they fight, they don't succeed. They need to cooperate and get along and work together in order to succeed. And Plurama has added a feature that Mastodon didn't have. I don't know if they've added it. But Plurama did, the developers worked to make sure it didn't break Mastodon when they did that. So as a specific example for cooperation. Now, is free software required for federation? Technically, no. Right? It's an activity pub is the main thing I'm going to be talking about, protocol. Anybody can implement that. It doesn't have to be free software. You can implement that protocol, and there's no requirements that it be a free software application. But in realistic terms, yeah, they kind of have to be. And we're not going to get that user freedom. We're not going to get those other guarantees, those other aspects that we want if it isn't free software. All right, somebody was mentioning an issue with the audio, but I guess it's okay. All right. Some history of federation. So I will go back. I'm not trying to list everything that has been federated, but one of the earliest examples that we still have is email. I can have my mail server, you can have your own mail server, we can send each other email. That's been working for decades, right? It's been working since before I got on the internet, it's the same thing. And even today we can do that. We have a few big movers in this space that kind of own most of the email nowadays. That's rather unfortunate, but it is still federated, still works. And especially if we can hold them to the protocols and hold them to working together, that cooperative part of the cooperative competition, then that will continue to be a service that we can use our own or use disparate instances. IRC, so the free node network is the one we're using for the conference and this very well known network, but it is a coalition of different servers working together. And there are other groups of servers. So you have kind of isolated federation in that particular case where you've got one group and another group. They could interact together, but that hasn't really happened for a while. But those are still federated in that you're contacting to different servers. And if you can gain the trust of them, you could stand up your own IRC server. I believe that's rather difficult, but you could. RSS. For being able to subscribe to web page updates. So you can find out about blog posts or you can find out about new episodes of a podcast or something like that. That has also been around for a while. And it's gone through Atom and some other incarnations, but RSS is the base of that. XMPP and Jabber, still around. It's been around for a while. There are new services. I'm not going to talk about them today, but there are a couple new services that are using that as their base that are trying to do the federated social media type of thing. Now, getting into what we are thinking of as the federated social media, the Fediverse now, starts kind of with StatusNet. So Evan P., I'm sorry, I can't pronounce his last name properly. So Evan P. started StatusNet as an example, as a test bed, in order to do basically a microblogging service. It did only text. It didn't do pictures and stuff like that to begin with, and that evolved. And we'll get into the evolution of that. In there somewhere, we had Diaspora, which started up, and that was some college students that wanted a different social media experience than what they were finding. And so they created a diaspora, and then I actually got some, did a some fundraising, got some funding in order to get that going as well, and that is still around and still in heavy use. Again, you can have multiple instances and connect to different things. Media Goblin is a GNU project that was started in there, and Media Goblin is Chris Limmer Weber, the quote I had earlier, who will also show up in the next couple of items. He was one of the founders of that and did a lot of the work on it. But he the idea behind that was for sharing files and sharing video, and that's actually at least up until last year what the Free Software Foundation Liberty Planet had been using for posting the videos from the talks at Liberty Planet. So it is still an active use and fairly heavy use with the Free Software Foundation putting Liberty Planet stuff up on there. Identica was the next thing from Evan, where he took StatusNet and did some extensions, and he eventually created Pump.io, and then Pump.io moved to the social working group at W3C, and that had some changes put to it and turned into ActivityPub, which has become a W3C standard. And that is the main thing that we're looking at. Diaspora has its own protocol. Hold on a second. All right, sorry about that. Diaspora has its own protocol, and there's a couple of other things we'll talk about have their own protocols. But many of the things I'm going to talk about today are using ActivityPub or trying to move to ActivityPub, and some support multiple. So federation protocols, SMTP for mail, still works. You know, there's some issues and stuff like that. Spammers are problematic. But overall, SMTP works, IRC, XMPP. So OStatus is the protocol that status.net was using. Diaspora uses its own protocol. And then Activity Streams came along in there, and that was Pump.io used Activity Streams, and then ActivityPub is using Activity Streams to do stuff underneath. There's a nice, on the ActivityPub site, there's a nice description of what ActivityPub does for pub and sub and how different actors work. And it's really useful if you're wanting to understand the guts of what's going on underneath. But it comes down to basically you're doing email and mailing list type of thing where you're saying, hey, I'm interested in this information, send it to me, and it gets sent to you. There's a little bit difference on how it's distributed, but it's similar. Matrix built their own protocol for chat stuff. And then something I didn't even know about until I was listening to an interview with Frank from Nextcloud. But Enterprise File Sync and Share, that is something that OwnCloud and Nextcloud now have been working together with other projects to come up with a common protocol for being able to sync files and share data from your file sync type of services. So what are some advantages of self-hosting? Well, you have no centralized filtering, right? So some person at some walled garden corporation doesn't get to decide what it is you see or don't see. So that is an advantage. It's also a disadvantage in that you might end up seeing a lot of things, right? So, but that's where you choosing an instance is important. So find one that has moderators that are doing something akin to what you would like to see. You know, I have an under 18 kid in my house. I would prefer that my default social media that my kid might see is, you know, age appropriate content. Maybe I have a different account where I can look at adult stuff that I don't want my kid seeing. But you know, I would like that. So you've got that centralized filtering means that somebody else is making those decisions for the good or the bad. They might be allowing things that you don't want, which we'll get into that at the very end a little bit. But they also might be blocking things that you do want to see because they feel they're bad for you or whatever it is. They just don't like them. And in a federated system, if the instance I am using starts doing things that I don't like, I can switch to a different instance. I can move. I can create my own and take care of my own moderation. You get to choose the moderators. That's part of it. Like, okay, I go to an instance. I'm looking at who runs it and how stable is it, but also who's doing the moderation so that we can keep the trolls out and the things that we as a group have agreed shouldn't be on there, right? So if you're really anti-smoking, you might say, I want to make sure that we don't have any smoking related things coming on there, right? Whatever. You get to choose your retention. So you got services nowadays that are specialized in it's deleted immediately. Well, once I have a copy, it's not deleted, but anyway. But you also have some services that are offering like corporate services, and they automatically delete after 6 weeks. Well, you can choose that and say, no, I want these to be longer. Feature forks. This is actually a cool thing that I've seen with Mastodon, where Eugen, for whatever reason, did not want to add a local only feature so that you could say this post only goes to my locals instance. It doesn't leave the local instance to someplace else. And other people wanted it. So they did a fork, and there's some other things that they've done in their feature fork, including just experimenting with some stuff. But they were able to take Mastodon, add that feature, run their own instance, or in this case, multiple instances that are running that feature fork, and they can have that new feature. It's still compatible with other instances. In this particular case, since it's not sending the data to other instances, there's not really anything to be compatible with, right? The clients, I suppose, have to have compatibility. Accessibility. So this is one that comes up a lot on Mastodon, at least I see a lot in my circle, where people post pictures, and if you don't post an alt tag, other people will say something about it and say, there are blind people that are reading Mastodon, they're enjoying this. But if you post a picture with no context, if you post a picture with no alt tag, it's just noise for them. And it's problematic noise for them. So please make sure you've got an alt tag. As for me, you know, people post videos with a link that's just basically a UUID with no indication what the link is. I'm just going to ignore them, right? I don't, you know, if you're going to rickroll me, I at least want you to have put some effort into getting me to think it was something else, you know, not just some random link. You can choose an instance that says, okay, we will not post images unless there is a alt tag for it. Right, and go through that. And for accessibility people, that is actually important for them. All right, you can require certain security. Go through and make sure that your instances has security features you want and privacy features you want. A lot of that has to do with the moderation and how the instance admins are running it. But you can again choose for an instance that is along the lines of what you're interested in. And you can help support them and keep them going, right, in all these cases. Adult content, you can choose an instance that doesn't have it, you can choose an instance that does have it, you can choose an instance that has it but warns people, you can choose an instance that has it and doesn't warn people, surprise, right? So again, what things that are of interest to you, that are important to you, you might be able to find an instance supports that. And then of course, internal only for self-hosting. You can run your own instance for your school, club, etc. And I believe that is the next slide. Yes. So let's say that you are needing to do social some kind of chat or communication for work. You can use an outside entity. You can use IRC Freenode. You can use that. You can use a commercial entity. But now your business data is being passed to that third-party service. And that might or might not matter depending on the industry and what your personal requirements are or your corporate requirements are. I see, unfortunately, too many passwords get shared that way, and that really, really bothers me. So if you're going to have that type of thing, maybe it's better to have it on an internal server where at least that data isn't going somewhere else. But same thing with when you talk about schools, universities and such forth, and medical providers, that is customer data that it needs to be protected. So again, if you can keep it in-house, that seems to me to be a good option if available. So school, college, university, you want to set up an instance for a class, especially for young kids. Well, let's set one up that's private. It's only used within the school. Maybe give parents external access and teachers external access. But now we don't have to worry about a bunch of Russian or whatever trolls you have this week, right? Whoever we're blaming this week. So you don't have that coming in and hitting your instance. You don't have that interfering with the educational process, and you don't have that causing traumatic events for the children, right? So you can have a private event, make sure it's over there. And for the school, that makes it a little bit easier for administration because you've got limited access to the instance. Medical providers, same thing. You want to have to where your doctors, nurses, et cetera, can talk to each other, but maybe not be sending customer data off to some third party. And of course, if you got an interest group, whether that be your local log or other user group for a conference like this, you could be running an instance to do that. And for some of them, you could stand up an instance for, you know, the couple months before the conference and then drop it and then stand it up again before the next edition, right? So some disadvantages of self-hosting. It does require some technical skills. Even, you know, Pleroma's goal is to be an easier to install microblogging service, but it still takes some technical skills to install it, and it takes some technical skills to administrate it after the fact. And it also takes moderation, and that's also a skill set, and it's a lot of work, or can be a lot of work, and it, in some cases it can be exposure to things that people don't necessarily want exposure to. So there is definitely a cost to self-hosting. Not everybody can afford to self-host. It does cost some money, cost some time, cost some effort. So not everybody has that freedom. And as I say, moderation, it can take a lot of effort to do moderating. I know for some of the bigger Mastodon instances, they're paying moderators to go through it and take care of that for us. But they are, it is a lot of work for them to do that. The other thing for us for selling, previous talk was getting people enthused about free software. So maybe go look at that so you can help with item number four. So one of the issues is that the other services are free. I don't have to pay for them, right? Sure, they're packaging up all my information and selling me, you know, but yeah, it doesn't cost me anything out of pocket. It's easy to use. Everybody's using it, right? So we do have to compete with that a little bit. So that is one of the disadvantages of self-hosting is you now are, your service is directly competing with those other services. Methods for self-hosting is probably not a surprise for most of us. You can use an old system, or I should have put in here, if you get an old Sinclair sitting around in the garage, you can use a phone. You know, it's depending on what you're doing, you're not moving that much data. And nowadays, 4G and 5G do pretty good if you can afford that. But you can also pay a service like Mastodon Host. One of my friends runs his own service in that he's paying them to run the service and he's doing some DNS stuff to make it work out. You can install the service on a virtual host or cloud provider. So anybody, you know, someplace where you can get a virtual machine or, you know, a virtual web server might be, well, you need more than just a web server. So virtual machine, you could go through and install it on your own and set things up. Of course, you can talk somebody else into hosting. If you're doing this for a group, maybe you say, hey, I'm helping with marketing or I'm going doing these things. Why, you know, Bob, why don't you go through and set this up for me? So you can get other, you can talk other people into helping you with the self-hosting. And I talk at Siegel the last few years, and after somebody else gave a presentation on Federation there, one of the colleges stood up a Mastodon instance, and now students are running it. So they basically did that. I don't know that he was any of those students' roommate, actually I do. So somebody did talk their roommate into it. All right. So welcome to the universe. You're here. What are we seeing? Let's see. Let me go back. So when you get in, you create an account and you start and you can join up. But by default, most likely you're going to be following the administrators and a couple of other key people on the instance. Go find people. Go say hi. I'll talk about the fire hose later on. You can really see a lot of data by doing that. But choose a service that's of interest to you. So I'm mostly interested in the microblogs and memes and stuff like that. So I do use Mastodon or Pleroma. I would use one of those two for most of my stuff. I don't do a lot of photography, so I haven't done a created Pixel Fed account. But if that's your thing, then that's there. PeerTube, let me go ahead and talk about that for a second. So Blender was using a commercial service that was, I think, no cost for them. I take that back. I think they were actually paying for this other service that everybody knows. And somebody issued a takedown on their content. So somebody claimed that Blender's content wasn't Blender's and issued a takedown, and Blender suddenly went off the air during an event that was going on. And they did not like that. And they're like, well, you know, there's this PeerTube thing. Let's just set up our own instance. So Blender started a PeerTube instance, and they're posting their videos there instead. So again, you have control. You can decide what goes on your instance if you're running the instance. So choose something that's important to you, and then start find people to interact with. Talk to people at conferences, talk to people in your local projects or your, you know, whatever projects you're working on, your local user groups and so forth, and find people. But different instances can talk to each other. It can be difficult to find them. One of the advantages of the walled garden is you search the walled garden and everybody that's in the walled garden is on that instance, and therefore they can search for everybody. But if you are on mastodon.social, or you're on this student instance in Seattle that I mentioned, they aren't necessarily talking to each other, and they aren't necessarily giving each other every piece of information. So you might have to go through some more effort. Actually, you'll most likely have to go through some more effort to find them. Then again, I do not know that many Frank Joneses. So if I look for somebody Frank Jones on the walled garden, I will get 10,000 back. And it's not what I want. By being able to say Frank Jones in Seattle, I'm getting a little bit better search on that particular type of thing. So choosing an instance. One thing, whether that be a service or an instance specifically, it's not a permanent decision. Right? Choose an instance, and if you find out if this isn't working out, or it's not getting enough traffic, you don't like what the moderators are doing, or you decided to switch from VI to Emacs or vice versa, right? You can change. You can go through and move to a different instance. Mastodon now has a feature to make it easier to move your account. So not only do you just can you create an account on a different instance and move on, but you can actually take information from your current account to your new account. It's not everything, but they've made it easier to keep your followers and friends and so forth. And if you decide that, hey, in the end, I'm really just doing mostly cat memes, I'm going to go to PixelFed instead, then you can do that. Local rules. So look at what the local rules are for the instance that you're moving to. Look at what the moderators are doing. Look at what the admins have put in there. One of the instances I joined, I didn't look at it as well as I should have ahead of time, but they say English only posts just because they don't want to have to moderate other languages. I still post in German. They haven't yelled at me yet. Look at what the local rules are for posting and for things coming in and see if that fits with what you're interested in. You can look at the theme or the purpose of an instance. Again, going back to the VI Emacs or whatever it is, if you got a particular fandom, you want to go through and find people to do that. Maybe there's an instance for The Martian and we can all worry about how well Mark Watney is doing after he's gotten back, whatever, right? You can also look at the number of users. There are some people that want a lot of people, and there are some people that want a small instance that don't have that many people, don't have that much interaction. In fact, they might want both for different things. So look at the number of users on the instance as well. Moderators, obviously, I keep mentioning how important that is, but look at what the public stance is for the moderators, and look at what kind of content they're allowing on their instance and in the instance admin. One of the things that's important here, I didn't explicitly cover anywhere in the talks, but I really should add it thinking about it, is there are people that have that have certain social issues where just being open to the world is a problem, and part of that's because the world is problematic with them, and so they want a place that's a safer space is one of the ways of looking at that, right? And so you can find instances that are safe spaces for different things. One that I've seen maybe avoid some of the controversies and stuff like that is vegetarian versus meat eater. There are instances where vegetarians want to be on a thing where people aren't talking about going eating steak all the time. And they want that as a safe space where they can talk about what they're doing. I like vegetarian food. I order tofu when I can. So if I can find a place that's going to give me better ideas on that, that would be awesome, right? So you can look at things that are important for you, you can look for a localized instance. Where do you live? And maybe there's an instance that's local for you. Now, bad actors and disagreements. As I've indicated, there are some problems. Freedom isn't free. It takes effort to maintain a good project. It takes effort to take care of the trolls and take care of the bad actors. But also, there are just things that you disagree on, right? So going back to the VI Emacs thing or the vegetarian, the meat eaters or whatever, then people might just disagree on something and that's going to happen. It doesn't mean that the other person is evil. It means you're disagreeing on that one particular topic, and it means that you'll have disagreements in your social interactions. That still happens in the Fediverse, right? But we also have bad actors. We have trolls. We have spammers. We have people that are trying to come in and sell something. We have people that are trying to come in and cause trouble for whatever reason it is that they think that's fun today. One of the things that happens with the instance admins is they talk to each other and they're like, oh, this IP is signing up for a whole bunch of bogus accounts and spamming things or going through and posting a bunch of hate speech or something like that. And then the admins can go, okay, well, let's block it. Or if you're thing that likes hate speech, you can go, hey, talk to us. You know, you, again, your locals can decide what it is that's appropriate for them. We don't have to get along, but in the Fediverse, it is an option, and we can have a little bit more control over that. Now, federated instance can be a walled garden. As I mentioned, private instances. If you think about that, that's essentially a walled garden. I'm going to stand up an instance for my classroom or for my school, and we're not going to talk to other instances. Maybe we do this district-wide, and my school has an instance, the other school in the district has an instance, but you're still ending up with kind of a walled garden that you're isolated from other things. So you still have that ability if you want to. You can set up an instance for you and your roommates, you know, you and your dog, whatever. So that is still an option, but you also have the option to go federate and talk to other instances. And that's where the compatibility comes in. Some features, most of us I think are familiar with social media at this point. So the Fediverse, depending on the instance, the service you're using, has things you're familiar with. You can follow other people. You can like content that somebody's posted. You can block people. You can filter certain things out. You can filter things to bring them, pop them up to your awareness. Doesn't work as well as I'd like, but there's that option. One of the things that we've got, at least on the microblog site, is a content warning, which is really nice. So basically, you can say this is going to put a content warning on it, and you give it a title or give it information. So you can say spoiler and Liberty Planet talks, right? So if you haven't seen this Liberty Planet talk yet, don't read this because, you know, that joke that they give 30 minutes in is awesome, but I don't want to spoil it for you, right? So you can do spoilers. You can say, hey, I'm going to talk about political stuff, or I'm going to talk about mental health. MH is one. I thought that was the mail handler from Emacs for the longest time. But you can have put different content warnings on those. So people that don't want to see them coming up straight can choose whether or not they go through and see that content. And depending on the instance, they might enforce that more or less on things. You can do direct messages. So I can directly message from one person to another person. None of it is secure on any of the services I'm looking at or that I know of. The completely private. The admins and the moderators can still see it. It is not end-to-end encrypted and on Mastodon. But you can set it to where, you know, the general public isn't seeing it. And of course, you can have hosted instances where, you know, you can run your own thing or working with somebody else. All right, so here are some different services. I'm going to kind of rip through these. It's more of just to give you an idea of what's available. Microblogging, I've mentioned a couple times. Mastodon, Pleroma. GNU Social is using the StatusNet protocol for what they're doing. It's still around. It's dropped off a bit in the last couple of years. But it is still in fairly heavy use, and I believe the Free Software Foundation is using it. The instance I was using got shut down, and I haven't bothered to come back, but I enjoyed it and used it for many years. So social blogging is what I've decided to call the diaspora in Friendica. One of the cool things about Friendica is actually it supports multiple protocols. So it does ActivityPub, it does Diaspora, it does some other things. I haven't used it myself, but their claim is that they're using stuff, and I've talked to a couple people about being able to cross-post. It's not really the right term, but being able to use different services. Image sharing, we've got Pixel Fed. And there are, by the way, for all of these, there are actually more out there. I'm just posting the ones I'm familiar with that seem to have gotten a decent amount of publicity and knowledge. And we had somebody asking earlier if Diaspora was federated. Yes, it is. I think it is. It doesn't work with ActivityPub, but it is multiple instances, so it's federated unto its own thing. But you know. ActivityPub isn't an email gateway, so you know anything that's doing until we get an 822 gateway to ActivityPub, we're not going to be doing email and Mastodon together, email and PixelFed together. Media sharing, Media Goblin is kind of the original that we still have. I won't say that there weren't other things before. PeerTube, I mentioned, and then Funk Whale is for sound. So people using that to be able to share songs and stuff like that, and use that as your music player of sorts. For blogging, this is important to me. I want to be able to have longer form content. So I've been using Plume, but Write Freely is also out there, and it's got some nice services or features to it. And I know a few people that are quite happy with that. And then chat, so IRC, the original. That's been around for a few decades now, just a few. Matrix is a new service that has its own protocol. Hold on a second. And it also has a gateway to IRC, so you can use Matrix and still talk to an IRC server. There are a few things that have gateways to IRC, but a lot of people are using it. I haven't played with it. Part of it is when I looked at it before, it only had one client. I just don't like services that have only one client, because I will be unhappy and won't be able to try something else. But I believe there are multiple clients for Matrix now. And then some other, I go through here. So Nextcloud, I've mentioned, you've got cloud services, does file sharing, but it also has a mechanism for passwords. Actually, it has two different mechanisms for a password manager. And one of them allows you to do team stuff where you can go through and share passwords with other people. There's also, they just released a video today. I don't know if it was available before, but I saw it on Mastodon earlier about Nextcloud Hub, which is an is allows your team to work together with documents writing and file sharing and a whole bunch of other things besides just file sharing. And they have an ActivityPub module. It's not full featured. Frank has talked about how it's not there. In fact, while we're speaking of Frank, go back and look at last year's talk that he did about forking my own project, my own business was his talk. It's a great talk about community, about why he did that. And I think a lot of what he says in there, we can apply to the Fediverse and why we are enthusiastic about free software in our community. Get Together, I've been using for event sharing. One of the awesome features about Get Together is I have had 100% success rate on my talks that I've proposed. But that's because I post the talks that I've gotten accepted somewhere else. But it's awesome. They've accepted everything I've done. but the idea is that we can go through and put stuff up so people can RSVP to events. You can go through and put your different talks and stuff like that. It's still in the beginning phases, but I hope that is successful. Hubzilla is doing some decentralized identity. Don't quite understand what they're doing. Every time I kind of get a grasp on it, I read something else and I'm confused again. So that's my own personal failing. But I know other services are using that. And part of the idea is that you can have that single sign-on, but you can also have your identity on a website and other services and so forth. Lemmy is a kind of newer piece, and that's for doing link sharing. So you can go through and do link aggregation and things where people can say, hey, here's this cool article I found, and other people can comment on it and so forth. Now, to participate, create an account, follow some people, right? So start talking, start looking at reading what people are posting. You can go through and look at a lot of posts publicly before you join us an instance. So you can look at what's going on. find some people you know and start participating. There's also the firehose option for Mastodon, at least, where it's everything that's happening on the server. And if you're on a busy server, it's a firehose. It's just scrolling. It looks like you're catting a really large log file. It's just coming through. But you can just start that for a second, stop it, and go read and find just interesting things that are happening. But you can kind of randomly find stuff that way. And of course, I forgot to mention, you can also go through and search on hashtags and stuff like that. All right. My Dream Federated service would take messages with random objects. So the server just takes whatever comes up, right? Maybe does some sanity checks on it to make sure it is not a virus and make sure it's a proper, if it's an image, proper JPEG or proper PNG or something like that. But it's just there to pass packages back and forth, right?
Sorry to interrupt, but you've got about 30 seconds left. We have no questions on Q&A.
Oh, okay. All right. Didn't catch the 5-minute warning and my local clock turned off. Sorry. So the thing for me is I want to be able to say, this client gets this type of stuff, this client gets that type of stuff, because I want to look at them at different times. Anyway, we'll just skip. Interesting quote, we'll skip that. I want to thank, again, all the Liberate Planet volunteers that put on a lot of work, especially the last couple of weeks, to make this happen. Thank you for that, for providing a great resource for it. And I also want to thank my family. I just got back from a week at scale and then immediately said, I got to disappear for 3 days so I can get this talk ready a month early. So I want to thank everybody that's helped, and thank everybody for attending. I've enjoyed the talks I've been able to go to. I hope everybody else is. All right, anything else?
Nope, thank you, Hans.
All right. Thank you. Everybody have a great day. Enjoy the rest of the conference.